leave our schedules, leave our the things that we have to plan for, all of the busyness, and take time each Sunday to devote to hearing from God's Word and reflecting on His coming. So one of the things that we do, the first coming of Christ, the Advent means the coming. So the first coming of Christ is pointing us to something, not just God coming to dwell with us and do His work and fulfill His mission at that incarnation and coming, but that it is pointing us to another day when Christ will come again. And so in Hebrews chapter 9, so stand with me as I read this for us and we dwell on this passage. In Hebrews chapter 9, the writer points us to that day. And so as we anticipate and as we reflect, we worship because of this. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24 through 28, say this: "For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the things true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters holy places every year with blood not his own. Or then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man once to die, and after that comes the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who eagerly wait for him." So church, this morning we continue in that eager waiting. We reflect right now as we sing to him, we sing to him with joy that he has given us, but we sing in anticipation of his coming. We eagerly wait, and as sure as he came the first time, as holy and righteous, he is coming again, and we have that to set our eyes on. So church, let's worship the Lord together this morning.
To the world, the Lord is come.
Sing that.
Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing.
Joy to the world.
Joy to the world, the Savior is. Let all the songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and floods, repeat the sounds in joy. Sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
See, joy unspeakable.
Joy unspeakable. rejoices in my soul, never lets me go.
He rules.
He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love and wonders of his love and wonders, wonders of
joy unspeakable.
Joy, unspeakable joy, and overflowing well, no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, it rises in my soul, never lets me go.
Joy to the world.
Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King.
Every heart.
Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and
Amen. So come.
Oh, come. All ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King.
Sing choirs
of angels, sing in exultation, sing all ye citizens of heaven.
Glory to God.
We greet thee, born this
sisters. My name's Josh. I have the responsibility and the joy of serving you as one of your pastors. So I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer this morning. If you would please adopt a physical position of humility. We're embodied spirits, but our spiritual and physical natures are not as separate as we've been led to believe. So physically humbling ourselves helps us spiritually humble ourselves before God. We're going to spend a little bit of time praying for our brothers and sisters in South Carolina. Pastor Jay Will is leading a church down there, and we partner with them financially, and we partner with them prayerfully, and they've asked us for prayer. So we'll start there. Father, thank you for Pastor Jay Will and our brothers and sisters in South Carolina. You are moving in their midst. You've given them a place to meet, and you've established them as a young church plant, and we praise you for that. And our brothers and sisters need more people to come alongside them, shoulder to shoulder, and do the work of harvesting the people whom you have prepared, whom your spirit is moving toward and calling to yourself. So would you send more people to work with them? God, you've blessed them with a space, but they still have financial needs. So we ask that you would abundantly bless them and provide for them everything that they need. And we ask first and foremost, closest to your heart, closest to our heart, closest to Pastor Jay Will's heart, that many, many, many people would encounter our King Jesus and love him and submit to him and find their life in him. Please do that. This year, would they celebrate more new brothers and sisters baptized into your body than they even hope or imagine right now? You can do it, God. We ask that you would. Lord, thank you for Christmas songs. It is a delight to sing about the occasion of your incarnation as a triumph. We know the high points of our theology, that at the cross and the empty tomb, you conquered death and sin and hell forever. But that's because of who you are. And so it's just as true to celebrate victory at your incarnation. It's just as true to celebrate victory at creation. Because you are faithful. You promised you would do this. You promised that you would send a seed of the woman to crush the serpent's head. You promised that through Abraham's offspring, all the nations of the world would be blessed. You promised that David would have an heir whose reign would never end. Jesus, you're good for your word. We know all of this about you because you've given us your word. You're the word made flesh. God, would you make us a people hungry for you, such that we turn again and again and again to your word for sustenance? Would you make us a people humble before you so that whatever you say goes? That we would go and do whatever it is you say in your word. Give us wisdom to hear you and grace to obey as we live under the authority of your word, the Bible. Amen.
Y'all can stand. We're going to sing one more. One of the things Jesus taught us to pray when his disciples asked him to teach them how to pray. In the Lord's Prayer, he says, "On earth as it is in heaven." And part of the reason Jesus came, I think there are a lot of reasons, one main reason, but one of the reasons, I think, is to show us what it could be like on earth as it is in heaven. And one of the ways we can emulate heaven is in the way that we sing. in the way that we worship, because that is what we will do there forever. So this one is about all of the creatures on earth singing and praising on earth as it is in heaven. Sing all creatures. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. So strong, the clouds that sail in heaven along. Oh, praise Him, alleluia. Thou rising moon in praise rejoice, ye lights of evening find a voice. Oh, worship Him. And worship Him in humbleness. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son. And praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him. Alleluia. 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 Oh, alleluia. 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 Their Creator bless and worship Him in humbleness. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia. Sing it out. Praise the Father.
Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Amen. Y'all can take a seat.
Amen, amen. If you have a Bible, I'd invite you to turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. As we wrap up Philippians this morning, we've got a great topic, great kickoff to Advent. As we talk about true contentment this morning. Godly, true contentment this morning. My name is, as you're turning there, my name is David. It's a joy to get to be one of the pastors here at Scent Church. And sincerely and truly love getting to serve you all in this way. I love getting to share God's word with you. Just want to mention that over the next few weeks, we will, hopefully you know this is a given, but we'll be celebrating Advent together. And so Pastor Stephen already opened and reminded us of that. But man, I look forward to celebrating with you all over the next few weeks. And I hope that you make a point to be here, bring friends and family. Lots of people in our country will still show up to an invite, particularly around Advent season through the holidays. And so it would be a good idea to continue to invite folks to come and gather with us, certainly in your homes, in your groups, but also with us on Sunday. So hope you guys will keep joining us and keep inviting your friends to join us. Now, before I jump in, kids, need to hear from you before we jump into God's Word. So if you're under 18, we're super glad that you're here. We're glad that everyone's here always, every week. But if you're under 18, we would love, I would love especially, even if no one else loves it, I love hearing from you, all right? So on the count of three, I need to hear you say, Jesus is King, all right? Jesus is King. Loud as you can, proud as you can, moms, dads, aunts, uncles, friends, neighbors, family, everybody, join in with the kids on the count of three if you're ready to get after it in God's word. One, two, three. I'm sorry. Half of y'all said get after it, half of you said Jesus King. That's my bad. All right, Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 23. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with you or with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is God's amazing good word to us. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you've given it to us as a gift. Thank you for your goodness and your grace to us. Thank you for the sound of babies crying that remind us of the season that we are in. When you, Jesus, came as a baby, you were born of a virgin. You lived a perfect life and you died a death in our place for our sin. Then after being buried in a borrowed tomb for 3 days, you rose again victorious. You ascended back to heaven where you promise you will come again. You will come again to receive your people and execute justice for all eternity. And so we do, as Pastor Stephen reminded us earlier today, we eagerly anticipate that day. And so, God, would you fix our hearts and our eyes on you this morning? And would you teach us again? Would you help us learn what it means to truly be content? To truly be content in you. And may we do all things that you've sent us to do, by you who strengthens us. Whether we have plenty, whether we lack much, We know that the secret to contentment is found only in being satisfied and strengthened in you, Christ. Help us to do that now. Help me to proclaim your word faithfully to your people. I pray that you would do your work in your way in our midst. Reign supreme, Holy Spirit. We ask it all in your name, Christ. Amen. So you guys have heard pastors quote stats like this. I'm going to give a few more this morning. But as we jump into the season of Advent, you all know that our country likes to spend a lot of money on presents. Did you guys know that? Anybody know? Okay, cool. So I won't go crazy. This is, anybody can Google these numbers. So that's where they came from. Google, I don't have like a special place I'm going. And so Consumer Report, lots of different banks. Well, some of the numbers differ, but as best I could tell, we'll spend over $1 trillion this year on this Christmas buying season, all right, in America. Spend over $1 trillion on that. Now, that's a big, giant number. Households, on average, will spend anywhere between $1,000 and $2,000 to buy gifts. One in five people, now this is one staggering to me, one in four to one in five, again, depending on what website you're looking at, one in four, one in five people will go into debt in order to buy Christmas presents. In debt, on average, about $1,500 per those one in four, one in five people that go into debt to buy Christmas presents. And if you're anything like me, you know that the vast majority of those presents will end up in the trash heap. The vast majority of them will end up in the trash heap somewhere. Even if you make this a December to remember and buy yourself a Lexus. All right? It will end up in the trash heap. Part of what we're looking for as we buy gifts, there's a lot of different reasons, and I don't want to like paint it all in a negative light. There's some wonderful reasons to give gifts. I love giving gifts. I enjoy sometimes receiving gifts, love giving them. And there's a lot of good reasons to give gifts, right? So I don't want to paint it all in a negative light. But a lot of times when we're giving and receiving, we're looking for something to satisfy. We're looking for something to bring us joy, happiness, dare I say, contentment. We're looking to be amazed, awed, again, satisfied in different places and different gifts. And so the question for us this morning that we'll end with, or we'll open with and end with, is where are we looking to find contentment? Where are we looking to find satisfaction? As we enter into a new Advent season, a different Advent season this year, what is it that we're longing for, we're hoping for, we're yearning for, we're trying to find as we enter into this season? This is a great start as we come to this passage, as we wrap up this book of Philippians. I can't say that I planned it perfectly. This actually, we were supposed to start an Advent series this week, but the preaching calendar ended up getting messed up, and we had to bump back this week. But God, in His grace, has brought us to this passage as we wrap up Philippians, and it's a beautiful passage on godly contentment. And what Paul has already encouraged us and shown us throughout this letter, one of the things he said is that we are to shine bright in this world. That we're to be different, we're to be set apart, we're to be holy. That we're striving arm in arm, side by side, for the advancement of the gospel. And as we do so, we are to shine bright, we're to be different. And certainly one of the ways that we are to shine bright is to be content through Advent season and every season of our lives. Whether we give gifts or get gifts or whatever it might be, one of the ways we can say to the world, Jesus is enough, is by saying, you know, we don't need a new Lexus or whatever else you might think you need or just have to have. And so here we see in this passage one of the most misquoted verses in all of the Bible. All right, Philippians 4:13. We'll get to that in a moment. I love you, Steph Curry, but you're about to get railed on a little bit. But nonetheless, we come to this passage and we see that the context of First Philippians 4:13 is really all about contentment. It's about contentment. And so here's the big idea this morning. The secret to contentment in every circumstance is learning to be satisfied and strengthened by Christ. If we're to be content, if we are to truly rest satisfied, content, full, not needing anything else, not looking for anything else, not longing for something beyond what we already have in Christ, if we are to really be there in every circumstance, we must learn to be satisfied and strengthened by Christ. We'll look at that in three parts this morning. First, we'll see that contentment is learned. Second, we'll see that contentment is provided through the Lord. And lastly, we'll see that contentment must be lived out in community and on mission. First, contentment is learned. This is in verses 10 and 12. I rejoiced in the Lord, 10 through 12. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, Paul writes, that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Verse 11, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned, notice that, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to be and to abound. In every circumstance, here it is again, I have learned, circle that word in verse 11 and in 12, the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Paul learned to be content. We must, listen to me, church, we must learn to be content. Part of why I opened with the illustration of the $1 trillion that we'll spend on Christmas is because we aren't born naturally content as people. I really don't need to make this argument much further, but for the sake of it, I'll drill it down. We're naturally not born content people. We're naturally born looking for more and more and more and more, right? Our natural bent is not, hey, you know what? I'm just good. It's no, I want more, more, more. If anyone has ever been around a toddler, you know this. You understand this, right? Soon as you feed that joker a meal, 22 minutes later, what do they need? Snack, bro. Where my snack at? Like, you just had a meal, a full-grown meal. Like, I'm a grown man, we're good. Rest, content. Where my snack at? Always and forever. Needing a snack, needing something, needing a new toy, needing a new thing, needing, or I've talked about this before, but, and man, I love my kids like crazy, and I'll rail on the adults in just a minute. But if you've ever taken a kid on a really nice vacation, right, or like to Disney World, we've been to Disney World a few times. Talk about this some more later, but mostly because Aunt Brookie used to work there and she got us in free and all these good things. But man, we've been there quite a few times. And it's a fascinating to just kind of sit on a bench and watch all the discontent children. So, bro, I know your parents just spent 10 grand on this piece. Like, I know that. And you, a little discontent self, aren't happy because you don't have a Mickey bar. Bro, you just rode Star Wars Space Ride. You need a Mickey bar, right? Like, you understand the level of discontentment. Why? Because we're not satisfied. And this is every single adult. Every single adult. And maybe social media isn't your drug of choice, but this is why the vast majority of adult human beings spend hours and hours and hours just scrolling. Just scrolling. There's this thing in us that's looking and longing for something next to bring us joy, contentment, satisfaction. I don't care if you're shopping or looking for news or looking at people or judging everybody else or not resting in what you have. There's something in us. There's something innate in humans that are not content. This is why we got to have the bigger house and the bigger cars and the nicer things and the cool stuff and the new technology. This is why people sleep outside in tents to get the newest phones. This is who we are. We're not content because we're not satisfied. This is something that must be learned. And this is what Paul says. I've learned this. I have learned what it means to be content in every circumstance. See, discontentment happens when we're not fully satisfied, when we're not full. And the only thing that can fully satisfy us is Christ Jesus, himself. And what Paul is showing us here in these first couple verses is that this must be learned because it doesn't come natural. We must learn this. And part of why God puts us in many different circumstances is to teach us this lesson. Is to show us, hey, these things won't bring you joy. They won't bring you satisfaction. It doesn't matter if you have plenty or a little bit, or you will not be satisfied in stuff and in relationships outside of Christ Jesus. This must be learned. We're not naturally bent toward this. Each of us have longings and satisfactions we're trying to find in this world. We will not find them outside of Christ Jesus. Contentment must be learned. It must also be earned. It must be earned. However, it cannot be earned by us. It cannot be earned by us. Which leads to the second point this morning, and that's this. Contentment is provided only through the Lord. Contentment is provided only through the Lord. Now, this is verse 13. You all know it. I can do all things, Paul writes, through him, or Christ, who strengthens me. And then I want us to look down at verse 19, where it says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, contentment here is the context, and it's provided through Christ Jesus. Now, I mentioned Steph Curry earlier. I really do love Steph Curry. He's an amazing basketball player and seems to be a fine man. I don't know him. He's whatever. But my guy Steph is an easy target, at least for me, to pick on. There's probably 700 targets I could pick. But he is a guy who's misquoted the scripture like crazy and has blasted it all over for the world to see. And so many people, this is a different sermon for a different day, but like we love as Americans to kind of pick and choose the verses we like and plaster them all over different things, coffee cups and t-shirts and doormats and whatever else. And oftentimes the context is completely inappropriate and it's not really what the word means. This is one of those examples. We've got another sermon for another day, but our biblical illiteracy is astounding. And part of why I know that is because stuff like this continues to happen. And people continue to think they can quote Philippians 4:13 to win a football game or a basketball game or to do whatever, to be driven and motivated, to get more money and get more stuff. When Paul is compelling us that in whatever circumstance, we can be content. Here's what Steph Curry said as to why he puts Philippians 4:13 on his shoes every single game that he plays. This is coming from an article on ESPN or via the Warriors website. If you ever paid attention to Steph Curry's signature Under Armour sneakers, you may have seen "I can do all things" written in Sharpie on the Warriors' shoes, Warriors All-Star shoes. The words come from Philippians 4:13, and Curry's been writing the Bible verse on his sneakers ever since his college days at Davidson. For Curry, Philippians 4:13 is a verse that pushes him to achieve greatness every day. This is from ESPN's Nick DePaula. Curry famously landed on Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he's been writing a variation of each Bible verse on his sneakers just before taking the court along with his given initials every game since. Here's what Steph says about it. It's a mantra that I live by and something that drives me every single day. It'll hopefully inspire people to find something that drives them, whether that's a verse or some other motivating force that keeps you hungry and keeps you driven. That's mine, and you can pick whatever yours is and let that drive you too as you continue with basketball or whatever field you're in life. And the author concludes, so the next time you see "I can do all things" on Curry sneakers, know that the words are driving him to play every game like the superstar that he is. All right? I just want to be real, real clear here. That's not what the Bible is saying. That's not what the Bible is teaching about this verse at all. It's not a verse so that we can take it, plaster it on our shoes, so that we can be driven to go get more stuff, to go do more stuff for ourselves. That's not what this is about. What Paul is trying to help us understand is that what we are longing for in this life, what we're looking for in this life is only going to be found in Jesus. That the part of the reason why we spend $1 trillion is we're looking for something. What we will only find to be finally satisfying is Christ Jesus. He is, as he says in John 4 to the woman at the well, the living water. He says, drink deep of me, you will never thirst again. All of us are like the woman at the well, thirsty, longing, looking for something to satisfy the depths of our souls. And Jesus bids us, come and drink deep of me, and you will never thirst again. Be satisfied in me, and you will never look elsewhere. And so Paul's not saying, thanks, babe. Paul is not saying, I sound that bad, huh? Never refuse water or a mint from a friend or your wife. All right, that's free. But we are never going to be satisfied if we are looking outside of Christ Jesus. And so what Paul is trying to remind the Colossians, as he's writing from prison, by the way, not being paid millions of dollars to play a game, as he's writing from prison, he's trying to say to us, hey, you know what? Whatever circumstance I'm in, and I've been in circumstances of plenty and in circumstances with not much. Here I am in chains. What I need you to understand is Christ gives me all the strength I need to do everything he's called me to do. We can do all things through Christ because Christ is enough. This is what this so often misquoted verse is actually about. God provides us the contentment we're all searching for by satisfying our deepest desire. Contentment must be earned and it must be worked for, but we can't do it on our own. Only Christ can earn this for us, and he has. This is the beauty. Christ went to work to earn our salvation, to earn our acceptance before God. He paid the bill when he went to the cross, was nailed on the cross, and declared that it is finished. What he says to us is, I paid the bill. I earned the contentment that you're looking for in this life. Rest in me. And so once you've received Christ and all he has to offer, now you can do all things through him. You can be content in every circumstance as you're satisfied in Christ and you're strengthened by Christ. You're satisfied in Christ. This is like I know I've already talked with several of you this morning about your good meals for Thanksgiving. We make a big deal about it. At least in our home, we like to eat good all the time, but particularly on Thanksgiving. But it's like Thursday afternoon or evening, whenever you eat, okay? And then you know you're ready for your Thanksgiving afternoon nap. If you're able to do that, you got your belly full of turkey and dressing and mac and cheese or whatever your family staples are, and you're full to the brim. You're satisfied. And then someone rolls up and is like, hey, I'm going to go to McDonald's and grab a cheeseburger. Do you want one? You're like, no, homie. I'm good. I'm satisfied. I just had turkey and pecan pie. I don't need a cheeseburger. This is the idea that we're satisfied in Jesus. And so when all of the world's McDonald's cheeseburgers come our way, when all of the Lexus December to Remember commercials come on TV trying to convince us that we're in some kind of proverbial hell and we got to get by our way out of it with a new Lexus to be satisfied, what we are saying is, no, I just ate. I'm good. I'm good here. I don't need anything else. You can keep your crusty factory-made cheeseburger. I love McDonald's. Whatever. We can talk about that later. You can defriend me as your pastor. But nonetheless, you can keep that because I had turkey, dressing, pecan pie. Jesus is more than that. And then down in verse 19, we see that we're strengthened by his riches. And my God, Paul writes to the people in Philippians and to us, will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I've already mentioned my kids in Disney World. This is like my kids, they're super cute. They want to go to Disney. And The problem is, Aunt Brooke, you don't work there no more. So, sorry, homies. But nonetheless, they're like, we're like, we don't have enough money. We tell our kids that all the time. We don't have enough money. Sorry, we can't do that. We just don't have enough money. And they're super, super sweet. Because then they're always like, we got money. We'll pay for it. Right? And that's super sweet. But it's like, bro, all five of y'all got $32 combined. $32. We can't even get to Rock Hill. We can't even get to Rock Hill. I don't know what you're talking about. They don't understand. But here's what Paul is trying to help us understand. We are strengthened. What does it say? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, we're not working off our $32 combined. We are supplied according to his riches. And so when our kids do get to, when they did get to go to Disney World, they didn't have to worry about their $32 because Aunt Brookie got them in for free and Mommy and Daddy paid the rest of the way, and it was wonderful. They just got what they needed according to the riches of Aunt Brookie and Mommy and Daddy. They got to enjoy Mickey Mouse in all of his glory. And you and I, again and again and again, are strengthened. We find contentment. We find satisfaction in the riches from our Heavenly Father. It's like, I mean, I keep picking on Lexus. It's like going to the Lexus lot with Bill Gates paying the bill. You know, it's like, bro, just pick one out or seven. It doesn't mean, you know what? Let's buy the whole thing. When you have someone who's that loaded with riches, saying, just get what you want. This is the key that Paul learned to contentment, that it's found in Christ Jesus, that what we're actually looking for is in him. And he paid the way for us to be satisfied in him. And we can keep going back. You see, the thing about Thanksgiving dinner is that a few hours later or a few days later, depending on how well you eat, you get hungry again, right? You get hungry again. It's like, where's the next meal? And what Jesus is saying to us is you will never thirst again. Paul is saying, I've learned that in every circumstance, the key to contentment comes from Jesus alone. As Christ provides our contentment, we are then able to shine bright in this world as those who have been fully, fully satisfied. Which leads to our final point this morning, and that's this. Contentment is or must be lived out. It must be lived out. This is verse 14 through the end. And here's what we see. I'm not going to read all of it again because I've already read it. But what we see here is that Paul's writing in a personal way to the people, the church of Philippi, and he's saying, hey, I had some needs. You met them. We entered into partnership together, and you helped meet my needs. And I'm excited for you because now God will continue to supply all of your needs according to his riches. And so he's living this out. And what Paul is saying is as I'm going about the mission of God, as I'm going about taking the gospel to people that have yet to hear the good news of Christ, that God is supplying all my needs. He's taking care of me. He's handling it, and he will handle it for you. And so simply put, contentment is lived out in community and on mission. It's in community with other people. And so Paul's saying, hey, we live this out together, Philippian church. You saw my need, and you helped meet it. You gave sacrificially. You gave financially. You didn't just give of your spiritual hearts and lives. You actually gave to support financially the mission of God going forward. Part of the reason why Paul's able to say in verse 19 that God supplies richly is because he's seen him do it time and time again through his people. Paul has seen God's provision happen over and over again through God's people. He supplies richly. And so he's living out his contentment in and among God's people as they provide for all the needs that he has. And he's in turn encouraging them. Hey, let's continue to live out this mission. Let's continue to get the gospel to people. And God will continue to provide for us. And might I say that as we are content in Christ, we find our joy in him, we find our satisfaction in him, we quickly realize, it doesn't take long to quickly realize how desperate and needy the world is around us, and that everyone else is looking to be satisfied in something. And we join in on the mission to get this good news to the world, to say to the world, hey, 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 that Lexus isn't going to bring you the joy you're looking for. That relationship isn't going to bring you the joy you're looking for. That family, that marriage, that job, that career, that thing, whatever it is not going to bring you the joy that you're looking for. And we join in on this grander, global, amazing, kingdom-advancing mission of God. And it continues to teach us to be content in Christ. And this is what Paul is wrapping up in part by saying, hey, as I was in need, you helped me. As I was on the mission, you helped me. God will continue to help you as you seek to live out the mission. Trust him. Walk with him. Find joy in him. Make your life about getting the gospel to other people. And find contentment in Christ Jesus along the way. And trust him to provide. Keep your $32 and trust God to provide all that you need along the way. As D.A. Carson has said it about this passage, he says, let the gospel advance, Paul saying. Let God's will be done in me and through me, Paul is saying. I am content, for I can trust the one who invariably strengthens me to do what he assigns me. It takes the strength and resolution and perspective that only God can provide to live above changing difficult circumstances. But to live above circumstances, utterly content in Christ Jesus, is to ensure that you will never give up the Christian walk. So I have one question for us this morning as we close, and that's this. Where are you looking for contentment and satisfaction in your life? Where are you looking for contentment and satisfaction in your life? Today, where are you looking today? Where are you looking through this season? As you look ahead to Advent, there's so many different things. If you're in here and you're a kid, or what toy is it that you think is going to bring you joy? All the things, if you got kids like mine, they circle the catalogs, all the toys, all 97 of them. So, bro, all right, here's the thing. You're going to get three. That's it. Three. And they're not going to bring you joy. They're going to be thrown away next week. I know how it works. If you're a teenager, if you're a single person, what relationship is it that you're looking for? Particularly for my single folks that I love dearly, I promise you that spouse you're longing for is not going to bring you the joy that only Christ can bring. And for my married folks, your spouse cannot bring you the joy that only Christ can bring for you. Married folks that are longing for children, those kids will not bring you the joy you're looking for. Married folks with kids, your kids do not bring you the joy you're looking for. Don't put them under the weight of satisfying your longings and desires as a parent. All my folks looking to buy your crypto and retire at 47 in America as millionaires and buy a third house at the beach, none of those things you're chasing after will bring you joy and contentment and satisfaction that you're longing for. And so what is it for you? What are you looking for? What are you longing for? What are you scrolling for at night when you're laying in bed? Or when you're taking a nature break, or whatever it is, what are you looking for? What's your heart going after? Advent season is upon us. One of my favorites. It is my favorite season of the year. What are you looking forward to? What are you hoping for in this season? How will you fight against all the unmet expectations this season will inevitably bring? Contentment only comes through Christ. And Paul is calling us to rest content in Jesus. He is saying, I have learned. We must learn this, church. This does not come naturally. We must learn to be content in every season, in every circumstance, through Christ. Contentment only comes through Him. We get to know this, learn this, rejoice in this, and then enjoy all the good gifts He gives in every circumstance. This is what we are to be about. This is how we are to be a city set on a hill, a light shining in darkness. This is how, as we walk arm in arm, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, we can be a set apart, different people who are content in Christ, longing to get this good news to the world. Where are you looking for contentment and satisfaction in your life? If it is not in Christ Jesus, you will constantly be left wanting. Look to Him. Let's pray together. God, we love You. We need You. Thank You that You are the only place we find true satisfaction and contentment in this life. Help us. Remind us again this morning that we are to look to You, to hope in You. Remind us again of the joy it is to be Yours. If anyone in here doesn't know You, I pray they would look to You today for the joy and contentment that only You can bring. And God, I do pray as we walk through the season of Advent, for those of us who are in Christ, that we would walk through it with the joy that only You can bring, shining bright in this world, looking different by the way we spend our money, by the way we buy gifts, by the way we receive gifts, by the way we love each other, by the way we look out for each other's needs, by the way we care for each other through hard times, through difficult circumstances. God, make us and mold us into a content, mission-focused, gospel-driven, satisfied people. Do it for Your glory and our joy. May we be the most satisfied people on the planet. Because we've had a better meal than the best Thanksgiving has ever offered. We have eaten and drank deeply from You. As we are about to take communion, may we be reminded of this reality. Help us again to eat and drink deeply of You and be satisfied and rest content for Your glory, for our joy, for the advancement of Your kingdom to the ends of the earth. We love You. Thank You that You came once to save us, that You are the reason why we have contentment, that You earned it for us. Thank You that You're coming again. We trust You. We long for that day. Help us to long for it more. It's in Your beautiful name we pray, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Church, we're going to pause for a moment to reflect. I invite you to consider David's question. Where are you looking for contentment, for peace, for satisfaction? What are you believing will help you sleep better at night? If contentment brings peace in all circumstances, you can even suffer and not worry, like Paul, then on the flip side of the coin, discontentment means you're going to rail against your circumstances. What is it in your life that's bothering you right now? That's ruining your peace and your joy right now? That may be an indicator of the thing you've set your hope on besides Jesus. Take that to Him. Lay it at the foot of His cross. Let it die there where He died. And you get up out of the grave with Jesus. Take some moments to reflect. whatever that thing is, keep it in mind this week. Continue to go before your Father. Continue to lean on Jesus for freedom from that. We're going to prepare to partake of the Lord's table together. This is for believers. This is for people who say, Jesus is my only hope in life and in death. He's my Lord and my Savior. And it's not to be taken in an unworthy manner. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 to 29. So then whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself in this way, and let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. So let's come to the table soberly, thoughtfully. If there's sin in your heart that you are aware of because the Spirit has been telling you about it, take it to the foot of the cross and let Jesus bear it away where you'll never see it again. When your heart is ready, believer, confessed up, come get your cup and your bread and take it back to your seat, and when we're all ready, we'll partake together. Corinthians 11, 23 and 24. For Paul received from the Lord what he has also passed down to us. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Eat and remember, Christian. Lord Jesus, you were broken so that we might be made whole. We praise you as we remember. Thank you for this tangible reminder. Would it not be a once a week reminder, but last all our days? In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Drink and remember, Christian." Lord, Stephen read how you went to the holy place, not made with human hands, but the reality to which all the tabernacles pointed, to the presence of the Father, and your shed blood has washed your bride white as snow. We're holy as you are holy, because you have purified us, Lord, to make us welcome in your presence, in your Father's presence, and give us a firm hope of your coming kingdom that can't be taken away. As we stand in the blood of the new covenant, would you assure us in our hearts of this treasure that is ours in Christ Jesus, so we may be content in all circumstances as the apostle is. Amen. We're going to continue in worship together in several ways. We're going to sing some more songs. If you have children in the other building, I invite you to go and get them and bring them as quickly as you can so they can participate with us in this worship through song. This is also a great time to present your offering if you brought it physically, or to remember the digital means by which you have shared your resources for the advancement of the kingdom among your brothers and sisters here at Scent. Continue to reflect and to pray as we worship, and then let our lives as we are sent be worship as well.
Again, my life is yours.
My life is yours. My hope is in you only. My heart you hold. 'Cause you make this sin.
your glory.
It's your glory.
Sing glory, glory again. Regardless of whether we're in want or in plenty, in sickness or in health, in hunger or in need. Sing glory, glory.
Glory, glory, high.
The Lord. Pray with me. God, thank you that you came to us. That when we didn't even know what we wanted or what we needed, that you came to show us and to tell us that deep down we needed a Savior. And I thank you and I praise you for those of us who you've given the grace to show that. You've given us the grace to see you clearly, to see our need, and to put our trust in you. And I pray that for anyone who maybe senses the discontentment and can feel themselves hungry and thirsty for something and constantly seeking something, but maybe never being satisfied, that they would put their hope and their trust in you as the one thing that can satisfy. And I pray that in this Advent season that we would be hopeful, we would be expectant and looking to you, that we'd be prayerful and joyful that you are coming again, but that we'd also be resting content in the fact that you've already come and you've already accomplished everything we need for life and godliness and salvation and eternity with you. We pray for whatever it is that we feel like we need, finances or healthier relationships or whatever the thing is that feels like is fighting for our attention. We do pray and give that to you, but I pray that ultimately we would rest satisfied in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As Pastor David mentioned, this learning contentment, it's a communal effort. None of us have arrived at the place where we would like to be. So if you are, if you know, even through the analyzing of your heart today, through the Word, that there's areas where you are not content, then I would invite you to submit that discontentment to a fellow brother or sister in the body to get it off your chest and to get the kind of help. This is where learning happens. The way at Scent Church, the way we do that is through our Scent communities. It's where we get together and we encourage each other. We help each other know how contentment is found in Christ. So I would invite all of you, one great action step from today's message would be, if there's a place of discontentment, if there are places of discontentment, the way of learning is through the gospel community. And so submit that to your gospel community. If you are not connected to a Scent community, I would love to help you get connected to a Scent community so that you don't have to walk through a very difficult world and life outside of a gospel community. So, next announcement is this. If you've been visiting with us for a while, or if you're new here and you've never been to a Scent 101, Scent 101 is where we tell you everything that you would like to know about the church and more. It's for people that are interested just to know what we're about, and also for people who are interested in partnering with us and actually jumping in to membership, to becoming a covenant community with our body. Next Sunday on the 5th, we're having a Scent 101. So if this is something that you've never participated in or you would like to participate in, you can go to, you can let me know, or you can go to our website and fill out a digital Connect card. Let us know. The other announcement is baby dedications are happening on December the 19th. As you know, as you see, if you have eyes, you know this, the Lord has abundantly blessed Scent Church with kids on kids on kids. And we celebrate that. We thank God for that. And then we also partner with the parents, and we dedicate these babies to the Lord. So we're going to do that on December the 19th. If you've had a child recently, you'll probably be getting an email from Emily arranging that. So We'll celebrate that together on December the 19th. Stand, and I'm going to pray us out of here. Father, thank you for the blessing of your presence and your word and the joyful singing of Christmas songs today. Thank you for the energy, for the sacrifice of the people serving us in the other building, and loving children and watching children. God, I praise you today for Lindsay and her dedication to this task of leading us and the team here. Thank you for the people that everything from every chair to the sound, for letting their time and energy go to worshiping you today so that we can do what we just did. Thank you for that. Thank you for blessing us with that. Now, God, as we go, send us full. Send us as full people among a world that is empty. Use us to be beacons of light, to show where our substance has been found, where our satisfaction has taken place. God, help us make much of Jesus this week. In Christ's name, amen. Church, you are sent.